Thank you, Jim. And what he said was absolutely true. I would sooner not be standing up here, but that song did give me strength. And I think it's important that we understand, and first I want to welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I think it's important to understand that we do give our best, or should give our best to the Master. Not in our clothes and how we look, but also in our attitude and also in those things that we present to one another. And it is a battle for truth. The one thing that separates all the churches is God's truth. And I think it's important to understand that. This morning, I would like you to go to Alma, the third chapter. Thought I had it marked. There it is. And I'm going to start with the 27th verse. Like I say, that song was very fitting. And now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenance? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith and redemption of Him who created you? Those are powerful words. And you know, I could keep reading down here. Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you, in that day come unto me, ye blessed. For behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. Pretty familiar with the scripture, I'm sure. And yet, we content to continue in our sins, and that we're saved in them. If we read on, Alma explains what we have to look forward to. And for the most part, usually I'd read that and remind you. But I'm not going to do that today. I want you to go back to that 28th verse. Have you received His image in your countenance? Have you? And if you have His image in your countenance, you wouldn't have to worry about the rest of that. It's not just an image. It's permanently burned into us. Can't be erased. And who was he talking about? He was talking about our brethren. You and I, who should know better. You think it's an easy thing to do? To have that image in your countenance? It requires that we're always changing. That we're always trying to do a little better. Have you been spiritually born? And this is what I'm concerned about. Spiritually born. We live in the flesh, but yet with these scriptures here, have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? For the most part, most people never change anything about their lives. Come to church, go home, go about our lives just exactly like was last week. Let's go to 21st verse. And this is about Alma. Behold, I can tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? And was he not a holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God, and my father Alma believed them? And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. There's a mighty change wrought in his heart. They found place in him. They changed that very being. I can tell you many times, and I have, that when I experienced God for myself, that I had that mighty change in my heart. And I knew that's what I wanted more than anything else. That it was such a powerful experience. And it wasn't just once. Very few, actually, none of you here know, you know, who that person was before that stands before you now. None of you know. And I'm thankful for that. I really am. I'm thankful for that. We see people come and go amongst us. And we see people amongst us that know the gospel, that know the scriptures, and know what they're doing, and yet continue in that path. Are they saved? I'm not the judge. But according to the scripture, when we look at this, that image isn't burned into them. You know, the other week I witnessed or was part of an administration, and it was really good for me. I think I got more out of it than the two little children that I helped administer to. One was barely old enough to even walk. And yet I asked him to offer a prayer, and the little guy, he prayed longer than I did. It was great. He knew he wasn't sick, but he knew he wanted something. He knew he wanted a blessing. Because he knew that the power of God was there. And it was good for me because I understood, and it was brought to my knowledge that it was those little children who are raised that way that want that image in them, that want that spirituality. And as we get older, you know, the biggest battle that we have is this, the spiritual battle. Isn't technology wonderful? But what I'm saying is, when we administer to someone and they desire more than anything else to have that Spirit of God with them. You know, we're coming up for sacrament here soon. And, you know, I think about when Christ was on this land. And those little children that he took and he blessed them. And they seen and they heard unspeakable things. And we'll get to that in just a minute. I want to go now to page 649 in the Book of Mormon. Eighth chapter of 3rd Nephi. Twenty-third through the 27th. And when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. And he took their little children one by one, and blessed them, and prayed unto the Father for them. And when he had done this, he wept again. And he spake unto the multitude, and saith unto them, Behold your little ones. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven. And they saw the heavens open, and they saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were, in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled those little ones about. And they were encircled about with fire, and the angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and bear record, and they know that their record is true, for they all of them did see and hear every man for himself. They bear record. Can you imagine seeing that? You know, and I looked up that word, countenance. And one of the definitions is to look with eyes wide open. In amazement. In amazement. Let's turn a couple pages to 656. I want to start in the 30th verse there. Father, I pray not for the world, but for those who thou hast given me out of the world, because of their faith, that they may be purified in me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one, that I may be glorified in them. And when Jesus had spoken these words, he came again unto the disciples, and behold, they did pray steadfastly, without ceasing, unto him, and he did smile upon them, pardon me, again. And behold, they were white even as Jesus. And it came to pass that he went again a little way off and prayed unto the Father. And tongue cannot speak the words which he prayed, neither can be written by man the words which he prayed. And the multitude did hear and do bear record, and their hearts were opened, and they did understand in their hearts the words which he prayed. Nevertheless, so great and marvelous were the words which he prayed that they cannot be written, neither can they be uttered by man. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of them, so great faith have I never seen among all the Jews. Wherefore I could not show unto them so great miracles because of their unbelief. How do you believe? How do you believe? I've sat in services where, I kid you not, I never wanted to leave. I could not explain it by words. Could not. A joy that unexplainable. Do you have that? Would you like that? I would. How do you explain what happiness is? Some of you are probably a lot better than I am as far as explaining things. I don't consider myself very educated. But the Lord allows me to see some things. Let's go back to that. The 20th verse, back over the page here. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them and went a little way off from them and bowed himself to the earth and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen. And it is because of their belief in me that I've chosen them out of the world. A belief. Do you have that belief? Do you have that belief? Because the thing is, I tell people and yet nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes unless we make an effort and I want that countenance burned into me. And I want it burned into you. You see, when you understand that we are just myself, not even worthy to stand here. And that's the thing. That's one reason why I don't like to preach. Because I'm not worthy to stand here. Sermons that I preach are always for myself more than anyone else. I see my weaknesses, my insufficiencies. And like Paul in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, where he received a thorn in the flesh, it wasn't his strengths that God had given him that he was interested in. It was his weaknesses that he would turn to his God. That he would make those adjustments in his life. And humble himself. Let's go to 59th verse. And the power of heaven shall be in the midst of this people. Yea, even I will be in the midst of you. This is what's coming. Are we ready for that? Have we purified ourselves? Is His countenance in us? Are we ready for this? How many of you, and I don't want to show a hands or anything like that, how many of you fast often? Just answer yourself. What's our sacrifice? What is our sacrifice? King David, in last chapter of, I believe it's 2 Kings. It's 2 Samuel, I'm sorry. 20th verse. And Arunya looked and saw the king and his servant coming on towards him. And Arunya went out and bowed himself before the king and face upon the ground. And Arunya said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And Arunya said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arunya as a king give unto the king." And Arunya said unto the king, "The Lord my God accept thee." And the king said unto Arunya, "Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing." If it costs you nothing, it wasn't a sacrifice. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated of the Lord, and the plague was stayed from Israel. If it cost you nothing, it wasn't a sacrifice. Look, David understood. And for all David's faults, he was a man after God's heart. Let's see if I can find it here. I was telling my brother Mark about, I think is how you pronounce it, was Shimei. When Absalom was pursuing after King David, Second Samuel. When Absalom was pursuing after King David, there was a Benjamite of the house of Saul. And he was cussing out David and throwing stones at him. And Joab, or Abishai, and I'll start here in the 11th verse. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son which cometh forth out of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord has bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." David understood that it, the reason was that God had bid him to do that. When someone pulls out in front of you or whatever, you know, it kind of makes me mad. A little tempted. Abishai wanted to go over and take this guy's head off. David understood. He took ownership of the things that he did wrong. Could you imagine having that absolute power? Someone cut you off, you could say, oh, you're gone. Let's see. You know, we look at the physical, we truly do, but yet the spiritual is so much more important. We administer for the physical ailments of the body, but the spiritual are so much more menacing, so much more to overcome. I got to go to Sixty-one. And it shall come to pass that I will establish my people, O house of Israel. And behold, this people will I establish in this land, under the fulfilling of the covenant which I have made unto you, your father Jacob, and it shall be a new Jerusalem, and the power of heaven shall be in the midst of this people. Yea, even I will be in the midst of you. Behold, I am he of whom Moses spake, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever ye shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. It says, this land, this land. You think it's going to be a people that don't have that countenance in them? Or reflection? No. We somehow think that we're exceptions. I want to go to page 709. Just read one verse. Because I want you to consider this. It's the 49th verse. And your churches, yea, even every one, have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. Every one. I don't hear an exception. I don't hear an exception. Please, that leaves us out, right? I shouldn't say that. Page 154 in the Book of Mormon. Sixteenth verse. They were stiff necks and high heads, yea, because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few who are the humble followers of Christ. There's the exception. That's the exception. that closeness that I desire with my God? I desire that for you. You ponder the prophets of old. Elisha. Think about Elisha. You know? What did he desire from Elijah? He wouldn't leave his side. He said, and so finally Elijah got tired. He says, what do you want? He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. He recognized something that Elijah had. I want a double portion of that spirit. And so he said to him, he says, if you see me going up, you got it. Now what happened after that? I mean, there were so many things that happened. Those little kids, you know, they came by and they were making fun of him. Elijah cursed them. I mean, I can go through the scriptures here, and what happened to them? Two bears came out, ate 40 of them. They're just kids. Let's go to, not far from it here, 2 Kings and 6th chapter. And this was, this was after Naaman, I want to start in the 15th verse, and I give you a little overview of it first. The Assyrians had come down because this guy, Elisha, was telling Israel where they were waiting for him, and so you know they said, "Well, we're going to go and get this guy." So, when they came and they surrounded the city, the 15th verse, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed about the city, both with horses and chariots. And this servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Alas, my master, how shall we do? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Can you imagine that? I can. Because he was a man of God. When Christ was when Satan took him after the days of fasting for 40 days, and Satan took him up on the temple, what did he say to him? Cast thyself down. God has given you all these hosts to take care of you. Cast thyself down. You see, we have that same opportunity. There's battles going on around us all day, every day. It's those spiritual eyes that we need opened. And yet, before that, can you imagine this? Let's go to the 5th chapter. And this is about Gehazi. And when Naaman came to him and was a leper and was an Assyrian, came to him and said, okay. And he never even came out to see him. He just told him, he said, go and wash 6 times in Jordan. So he goes away mad. But then one of his servants said to him, you know, why don't you just go and do it? So he did. And he was cleansed. And when he came back, he had all these gifts. And Elisha says, no, I don't want them. Don't need them, don't want them. But his servant wanted him. Verse 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lightened down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me, saying, behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the lower of the tower, he took them from their hands and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master and Elisha and said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall declave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. We sin daily. We want those things. A just reward? Yet he came back. Because over in the next chapter, he went and pleaded to the king for the woman that Elisha raised his son from the dead. Sometimes the things that we suffer are the things that change us the most. And it is that spiritual walk that can you imagine having that closeness with God? That you know exactly what's going on. That he tells you, that he shows you those things. If you don't have that image, you're certainly not going to have that. We say we want it. What are you doing to receive it? Are you fasting and praying? Are you cleansing your lives like the Nephites? The one thing that they wanted in his 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi, 10th verse. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt again and prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus. And they did pray for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. I tell you, if I preach nothing else, that you would have that Holy Ghost, that it would live in you, that your countenance would be changed. That you would be that peculiar people. And the only way that you are going to have that is with that Spirit of God. I thank you for your time, and I pray that you receive something out of this message.